was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I am your host, Lori Anderson, and co-host Eric Hughes Jones has joined with me tonight, and we have a special guest, John Lamb, with us tonight to update us on what is going on in the Nevada situation with the Bundy trials. Hi, John. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. We just left a BLM meeting out of Mesquite, Nevada, and very interesting meeting. It kind of deals with the same thing we're dealing with. If you want me to talk a little bit about that meeting for maybe 1 minute or something.
Absolutely. Go ahead. Inform us.
So, yeah, the BLM actually scheduled a meeting in Mesquite out near Bunkerville for the public for questions and comments concerning the Gold Butte Monument that Obama signed in executive order just before he left office. So there was over 100 people there, a lot of the Bundy supporters there, a lot of people that were just locals, had a lot of input, very emotional meeting, a lot of argument back and forth, but overall I feel that the BLM really heard the complaint that the ranchers and the locals said that are just very upset about this new monument that's taking over the land.
Well, yeah.
The BLM really, they actually refused to answer lots of questions from Jeanette Finicum, some of the Bundy women that were there. They just totally would not comment on multiple questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a very good meeting.
So what type of questions did they refuse to answer?
So they were asking if the BLM was a legit law enforcement agency, did they have the right to own land by the Constitution, you know, what gave them the right, were they going to put more law enforcement out there in the desert to protect this land and turtles, and what were they going to shut down more roads? Right now there's over 600 miles of roads that are open to the public, and in the past the BLM has shut down these roads. The BLM could not answer none of these questions.
Of course they
could. They have also asked about Dan Love and his misconduct. They refused to answer anything about Dan Love. And they were also asked about a gentleman, his name is Dr. Red. I don't remember his first name, but they asked about him, the BLM involvement in causing his death. And there was also another gentleman that had gotten shot in the back by the BLM not too long ago. And they refused to answer any of those questions. So, the only thing they wanted to talk about is what the public input on how to control the Gold Butte and what they were going to do with it, you know. So,
well, they were probably holding what is called a Delphi meeting. And a Delphi is where they want the public to have the perception that they are there and they have input, but they really don't because it's already preconceived. And Delphi meetings, if you don't know anything about it, look it up when you get the opportunity to and learn about Delphi meetings and how they're handled so that you know how to not allow them to Delphi you.
Yes, okay. That's great.
Because they do use that very heavily with stuff like that. They're taught how to do that, actually. And they use that a lot with UN Agenda 21 situations and everything else. Rosa Corey, I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but she's the one who wrote Behind the Green Mask, talking about UN Agenda 21. And you can find her at Democrats Against UNAgenda21.com. And she is a phenomenal wealth of knowledge, very strong wealth of knowledge. And she is she can teach you about Delphi really, really strongly just by watching the things that she has done. So, but overall, you think it was a decent meeting? Do you think they really heard you, or are they just pretending to listen?
Well, they was pretending to listen, but the public that was there was listening with open ears. They wanted to hear more about what happened to the Bundys and what was being involved. So the public was saying that they knew of the Bundys. They didn't know what all went on, but they was agreeing that the Bundys had something had been done wrong there. Mm-hmm. So that was what was awesome. We was actually educating more people that don't realize they're losing more and more of their rights and lands every day. And one of the questions was asked that 85% of Nevada is already owned by the federal government, supposedly.
But it's not.
And they
it's stolen by them. Yeah, it's stolen.
It's stolen by them. Yes, and that's what it was brought up. 85% is already stolen. How much more land? One of the people in the audience asked, "How much more land is going? Are the people going to let the government steal? Are they going to own 90% in a few years? Are they going to own 95% and nothing's left but the cities? When is this going to stop? When are we going to stand up?"
Right. Have you ever seen the Wildlands Project map?
I have not seen that. I have heard of the name, though.
When you get to the point of where you can Google search, look up the Wildlands Project map. It's a UN Wildlands Project, and you will see that they want the entire, pretty much all of the United States of America under Agenda 21. They want pretty much all of the land. When you see the little teeny tiny black dots, that's where people will be allowed to live, and that is 10,000 per tiny black dot. So that will give you the visual of exactly what they want. However, it's looking like, fingers crossed and lots of prayers and people still continuing to fight, that is not going to happen the way that they're wanting it to happen. So did they have the opening arguments today?
They did. So, you were talking about Portland. Nevada, I'm sorry.
Nevada,
arguments, yes. So they did. We had opening arguments by the government, the shortest opening arguments that I've heard in a long time. It was only around 15 minutes. And pretty much the prosecutions was just playing sympathy up on the jurors, saying that the BLM agents, that was the most fearful day that they had ever had in their life, and it's a day they'll always remember. They thought they were not going to go home to their wives and children, that they were going to die at the hands of these cowboys. Women and children were armed. And
but it was okay for them to do that to other unarmed individuals. It was all good for them to think they were going to go home and kill other people, right?
They told the jurors, they said, there was about 20 armed guys pointing guns at us, and we was outnumbered. Well, just a little bit later on, after they finished, one of the defendant's lawyers stood up, and actually it was Todd Engel himself that's representing himself. And I got to say, I have a lot of respect for this gentleman that's representing himself. He's well-spoken. He is fighting a great fight. But he said, he mentioned in his opening arguments that the BLM stated that they were outgunned. He said they stated that there was 20 possible people in the crowd that had guns pointed possibly at them. He said, we had over 200 BLM agents pointing guns at us, at women and children and cowboys. So it wasn't that.
And in sniper positions. They were had helicopters. They had all of that. If they're scared like that, with that many men and helicopters and sniper positions and everything else, seems to me they're in the wrong line of work.
That's what happens when they have their 10-mile toilet of D.C. and go out in the country and start stealing people's stuff. That's what happens. People are going to stand up to you.
Exactly. And Todd Engel brought up another good point. He said there was this local sheriff's department. There was Metro PD, Nevada Highway Patrolmen that came, and they were actually on the side of the people. And none of these Highway Patrolmen, none of these Metro PD or the sheriff was fearful for their lives. They were mingling with the people. They were mingling with the protesters. So he says the BLM, it was all made up on their side. There was no way they were fearful. They had so much weaponry, they could have slaughtered all of those protesters. But they
well,
couldn't
you know
do
what?
It because there was too many cameras.
Well, but I'll say this. They probably were fearful to a point, and let me tell you why. They're, bullies always become fearful when they're stood up to. They are not
exactly.
used to being stood up to. So there probably was a type of fear, and there probably was because they knew what they were doing was wrong in their hearts. So when you are faced with truth and reality, that is where the fear stemmed from. Not because they were outgunned and people were lunatics, but because they were like, oh, God. You know?
Exactly. That's right.
We no longer can come in and just slaughter people and get by with it. These people aren't putting up with it. And the people of America and across the globe were watching. I hope they realize this. This is not just a United States of America thing. People around the globe have been paying attention to this since the 2014 Nevada situation, and
that's
then
exactly
in Oregon,
right.
and people are rising, and so this has affected so much more than just our union in the United States of America. So he brought out the point that the 200 armed heavily, and they were militarized. They were better armed than our military in Iraq. Okay.
That's
the truth of the matter. That's the truth of the matter. And so if they're fearful for that, then I say good on them, because they're, you know, when the government fears the people, there's liberty. But when the people fear the government, there's tyranny. And tyranny was definitely abreast that day. They're so used to bullying and killing and murdering and stealing that they have gotten by with so much that they thought they were just going to waltz in there. And I have no doubt in my mind they were going to slaughter that family. I have no doubt in my mind. And I think there was no doubt in the mind of the millions of Americans and people around the globe that saw that either.
Exactly. Yep. That is for sure. Well, defense done well. Well, the defense did real well. They took about 2 hours to bring out their opening arguments. And two of the defendants reserved time for opening arguments at a later time. And at noon, opening arguments were all finished, and court was in recess until Monday. So we had a short court day today, and it went really good. The defendants really, really did well with opening arguments. We also, couple of the jurors during Todd Engel's opening argument, they actually started crying, and tears were going down their cheeks. There were several other people in the audience that were crying also, and it was very touching and emotional. It was just we felt like, and several attorneys said this after we had recess, they said at this point they felt 100% sure that they had won their case at this point. If the jurors went into deliberation, we had already won. So that was pretty good. It was a great day. It really was.
God is moving, and we have to always remember that, you know?
Yes.
And I always give him the credit and the glory, because I am nothing. I am nothing without him. He is everything, and he is the reason for everything that I do, because without the forgiveness that he gave me and the change that he gave me, I wouldn't do what I do, because I wouldn't care. You know, that's just the honesty. I've always liked to help people, but the reality is when you don't have that love within you, then you cannot give that love to others.
Exactly. That's right. Well, I will be in court again Monday. For the first part of the government bringing in witnesses, and then I will be flying to Portland on Monday evening. I'll be over there for jury selection for the Portland group on Monday on Tuesday morning.
Okay.
Well, John, have you been to Lori's Google Plus and downloaded the right to record, so you can at least try one more shot to file the paper to get cameras in the court?
I haven't did that yet. What was that?
I would do that.
Tell me how to do that.
As soon as, yes, okay. Yeah,
okay.
You're going to go to Lori's Google Plus. It's Lorri Anderson. Lori with
okay.
two R's. Okay, Lori Anderson, Google Plus. She'll finalize the domain here in a second, but if you go to her Google Plus, well, there's a letter. Is it under the Courtroom Observers page, Lori, where it says right to record? And
yes,
it was just,
I have collections, and those collections, click on the Courtroom Observers collection, and pinned to the top of that collection is a right to record. Now, that one was actually written for Portland, Oregon, for the first set of Oregon trials with where they got found not guilty. But I'm not sure if you'll have to do any altering, because I don't know if it's in the written-in form or if it's typed in.
Okay.
If it's typed in, you just need to alter it to the court that you're doing and use the same format and everything.
Yeah,
okay,
perfect. It may have the names blank, you know, where there was just a line and you could write in your name. But if we didn't template it like that, just rewrite it based on what you see there. And, you know, just change the details to the which judge and what your name is. But it basically says, I require that the court honor and enforce my right to video record these matters of public interest on public property pursuant to the following two federal court case precedents, one's from the Ninth Circuit, one's from the Eleventh Circuit. I've had people in Oregon call me and say that letter worked, and they got cameras in the courtroom based on that letter. But you need to file that with the judge, okay? And then when you get to court in the morning, just hand it to the judge's clerk, the court clerk. Ask her to stamp it, file it, and make a copy for you, please. And they'll hand you a copy,
okay.
They'll file it, and the judge will have to visit that issue before the proceedings go any further. So be available. They may ask you to come in and argue your right, which is you know, I don't believe in. Go ahead and do that. Say, just go in and say the federal protection under the First Amendment supersedes any judicial procedure law that this court has made, that the court or the legislator has made up, and just stand on that First Amendment grounds, because both of those two cases, Fordyce versus the City of Seattle and Smith versus the City of Cumming, both say the First Amendment protects the right of the public to record matters of public interest on public property. So download
and
that
then,
and rewrite it if you have to, and run with it.
And then
okay,
John.
Excellent.
And then
yeah.
John. Remember this code, because and back it up with saying, and just to reconfirm that you're not allowed to violate my right, is 18 U.S. Code 241. You might want to
okay.
print that one off, because
yeah.
that one's a handy one to have in hand.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, and you may
okay.
and you may reiterate, if you have to say a few words in defense of your right to record, and if you get up to argue your point, mention a couple of things. Number one, there is a public trial clause in the Constitution that says the accused has a right to a speedy and public trial. And part of the making the matter public is you being able to film it and post it. And it is,
yeah.
and of course, and I don't even think the court needs to be reminded, but you want to say it for the record. This is a very important case. The nation is watching. It is absolutely a matter of public interest. And since the court is public property, we stand on our First Amendment right in this Ninth or Eleventh Circuit to video record these matters. So, and then
yeah.
see how it goes. They may let you, they may be stuck, and if they still deny you, you're going to have a really strong recourse for a lawsuit later, especially since the decision is in their own circuit.
Yes, okay. Well, that sounds great. I'm going to have
thank
to
you
go
very
because
much,
I've got
John.
Some other meetings. I appreciate it. Yes, thanks.
Thanks,
okay.
We'll be looking forward to hearing from you Monday evening, and you just stay blessed and be careful. Thank you for keeping us updated.
Thank you. Okay, and God bless.
And God bless you, too.
Bye.
Take care, John.
Okay, Eric, we have a couple more callers. We'll go ahead and get to the callers before I cover this next bit of information that came out about Daniel Love.
oh, boy.
Yeah, right. So, hi, how are you doing today?
Hey, Wes. Oh, you went to me. Okay. Hello, Lori.
Hi, sweetie.
You took such an interest in the oath of office when I called
yep.
the other day. I wanted to call
yep.
and give this additional, I don't know, some people might call it trivia, Bible trivia, but I don't think so. George Washington, when he took the oath of office, he did not take the oath with the Bible closed. He put his hand on Deuteronomy 28, open Bible. Deuteronomy 28 is the blessings for obedience and the curses for disobedience, and it's perfect. You read that and you see that. Also, I wanted to point out that this book of Deuteronomy made a very huge impression on me. Years ago, I took a Bible law course on Deuteronomy. It was put up by Strip Matter, and it was on the web for a long time under Moses' hand, and then it disappeared, but I see it back on again. Sheldon Emery Library. If you don't remember Sheldon Emery, he was the guy that wrote Billions for the Bankers, Debts for the People, a little cartoon pamphlet that made it really great to read that. Sheldon Emery is one of the finest men that I ever knew. But here is a little bit about this Deuteronomy law course that I talk about that is on the Internet. Most Americans think they know the Ten Commandments, but most Americans and even clergy have never had these commandments explained to them. Some comments from them are reproduced below. Deuteronomy was quoted by Jesus Christ more than any other book. Think a moment. If you do not know or understand Deuteronomy, then how can you understand Jesus? When he quotes it, about 71% of the Bible is about government. Deuteronomy and many other books of the Bible were written by heads of states, presidents, governors, kings. All of America's social, economic, and health problems are caused by violations of God's law. All these problems are solvable by application of God's given laws. Other solutions will not work. These laws from God for the good of society are recorded in Deuteronomy, explained by Moses, confirmed by Jesus Christ, taught by Apostle Paul, rejected by today's churches and politicians. Anyway, that's what I want to point out. Please, everyone, take this Deuteronomy Law course on the Internet under Sheldon Emery Library. You can find it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wes. We appreciate your call, sweetheart. We always love it when you call in. That was definitely refreshing. And I think we've got one more call. Am I right, Mike?
Yeah, Jean in Georgia.
Jean in Georgia. Okay, Jean, how are you doing today?
Just fine, Mike. I think you and Eric have an excellent radio show. I've only been listening for a couple of weeks, and I just wanted to call in. I just wanted to ask you, do you have a plan to eliminate all taxation, or have you ever heard of such a plan?
Well, before 1913, the taxation actually wasn't an issue. It is now an issue. However, there's quite a bit that people don't realize, and I don't know if you realize this, so I'm going to ask you this first, okay? Have you ever read the Grace Report?
I remember, I just kind of read parts of it. I mean, you know, like a synopsis.
Okay. Well, what the Grace Report is, and you know, I asked you that, but I'm also asking the listeners that as well. You know, so if you don't know, look up the Grace Report under the Ronald Reagan era. It was an independent report which showed, and I don't know why, I do know why it's kind of been hidden under the rug, because it proves that none of the taxes, the federal taxes, if you will, that you spend goes to supporting any program whatsoever. So what happens is when they take your money, they actually shovel it to the banksters. The banksters, being the Fed, lends us back our own money for these new bills and these new things, and then we have to pay that back as if it was a loan with interest. So what happens is we're being double charged in the first place, and none of the taxes that are taken actually goes to paying any program out of the federal government.
That's how deep in debt we are.
Well, it's not just in debt. It's not even a real debt. Because what they're doing is they're creating that fictitious money, just like you would scan it on a printer and make it out of thin air. And it is not backed by really anything, except for we do know that they attach it somewhat to oil, which there's a freeze on that in America at a point, to a point, you know, not completely, but to a point. So they're dependent on the foreign oil, and this is one of the things that creates all the wars and the resources and this, that, and the other. Now, my personal, I've thought on many different occasions on how to do it. Simply abolish the IRS. The IRS is just a mafia arm collection agency for the Fed, which is a private bank. The IRS is not a government entity. It is a individual corporation that collects money for the Fed. Now, the U.S. Treasury, or the Department of Treasury, if you will, used to be a long, long, long time ago, was actually part of our country. However, if you look it up, you can see that I believe it is, if I misquote this, I apologize because I don't have it up in front of me, but it is one of the top people in the U.S. Department of Treasury. It would either be the first or second in command is the one who controls it, and they are part of the IMF. So, of course, it's part of the International Monetary Fund and all this other stuff. It all interlinks. Personally, I think they should put a complete freeze on any and all federal income tax. First of all, they have proven time and time again, even if it were a legit system. Okay, let's pretend for a minute that it was a legit system, okay? The fact of the matter is they've proven time and time again with the tax dollars that they allegedly spend on all these things that they blow that money. I think there should be a complete freeze on any collection of any federal monies whatsoever going to the IRS until, number one, they get the corruption out of it or abolish it. Personally, I think they should abolish the IRS altogether because the reality is the IRS is nothing but a collection arm for a private bank. Now, I have some information but the thing is the states are going to have to get back to the constitutional issue. The constitutional issue is gold or silver. That is what it's supposed to be backed by and nothing else, you know. And until people start really getting to the nuts and bolts of that, then they're not going to be able to solve that issue. And if you'll hold on, I'll get right back to answering your question after a couple of words from our network sponsors.
Let me tell you how it's going to work, kids. You work hard like your parents both did. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. We're going to redistribute when we make our big tax. Hey, sit back down, don't be a jerk.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Hey, PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back, everyone, to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast. I am your host, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes-Jones. And we have a wonderful caller on the line that is talking about the IRS and taxes. And so what I wanted to say is there are several different ways, in my opinion, and I am by no means an economist, okay? But I'm just going to give my opinion because that is what you asked for. It is my opinion that they should put a complete freeze on any and all funds as far as IRS taxes, not only because of their misspending and mishandling and everything else, but also because of their corruption, to clean up the corruption. If they were, if they were legit, they need to clean up the corruption. They need to clean up their house. They need to be able to budget what they've got before they continue to take money not voluntarily out of people's paychecks. What people also need to do, in my opinion, is you need to realize that just because the federal government has quote-unquote money, if you will, that's the way that they call it. They call it money. They print it, but they call it money. So just because they have that money doesn't mean they're producing or actually doing anything. I call it the middleman issue. For instance, if I were to go out and hire you to do 10 hours worth of work, and I hired you for $10 an hour, so you would make $100. And then Eric, you just come right up to him and say, hey, I'm just letting you know, I'm taking $50 out of what you just earned. And you didn't have the option to say no, that's theft. And then Eric looks at you and says, and not only am I taking the $50, I'm going to spend it on what I want to spend it on. And you have no choice in the matter. That's exactly what they do. Then they redistribute that money to wherever they want to redistribute it. And then there's other individuals that want to say, well, what about roads? What about this? What about that? Okay, before 1913, I suggest anyone read about Jackal Island. But before 1913, we had roads. Okay? We had stores. We had these things before the federal tax system that we know now, the IRS. It existed. So what you also need to realize is when the federal government has these funds, how do they redistribute the wealth? Well, they call on, let's say you're in Fort Worth, Texas. They're not going to call somebody from Washington, D.C. to go down and fix Fort Worth, Texas roads. They're going to call somebody from Fort Worth, Texas, and they're going to pay them. So here's the question. Why send it to the federal? Why not send it straight to the state? And the state directly pay for those roads like they should in the first place. You take out another middleman, and then you're not going to have near as much waste. Now, you could even go more local than that to the counties, you know, or you could go even more local than that, get the citizens to do it. I mean, there's a lot of options. But personally, I think there should be a complete freeze on it until they get their stuff together. Or completely abolish the IRS in the first place. I'm for abolishing it because I know the histories of it and everything else, but I don't have my documents right now to pull up to do exact quotes, and I really like to do exact quotes for you. So I won't go into too much more detail than that, but I will tell you that February the 8th, it was reported that Utah may soon dump the Federal Reserve and put trust back in God and gold rather than the central bank. So I don't know if you know that, but...
Okay, but my question goes deeper than just the income tax. I'm wondering about the plan to eliminate all taxation, property taxes, you know, hidden taxes, excise taxes, tariffs.
That's theft, too. Unless the people, now here's the thing, it's not theft if, let's say that somebody, that they want a certain tax in order to accomplish a goal, okay? And then they put that out to the people and the people vote on it, yes or no. And then it passes. Then that is not theft because by vote, they have agreed to that tax.
Well, it's theft in a way because then their children have to pay for it if the project continues. But my question is, do you have a plan to eliminate all taxation?
Well, there's several ways, and what we'll have to do is we'll have to go into that on a different night so that I can actually pull up documents and because we only have, well, I'm just saying, I'm going to let Eric chime in, but I'm saying, For me, because I like to pull up documents and say things to you, okay? I'm going to let Eric chime in just a second because I know he's biting at the bit. I know he is.
Not only that, I really respect everything I've heard you say in the 2 weeks I've listened, and I want deeply to be on the same page with you. And I'm a pretty old man now, and I might have years on you, and I might have brushed up against some information that you might not be aware of, and I'm hoping we can get on the same page because you definitely have leadership abilities to really bring about the true second American Revolution. But let me steer you in the right direction. This is what I believe. You know, we're complaining all the time about the private Federal Reserve Bank, but our patriot leaders never seem to address the problem. What about the public bank? What about the real American Revolution? I contend mm-hmm. that if the government was the bank, then the interest on the mortgages would pay for the government, and you wouldn't even need any taxation whatsoever. And I believe that that's what the American Revolution was really about with the Commonwealth and the colonial scrap. And Ben Franklin went over to England, and he bragged about our prosperity. And then when he came back, he wrote the first constitution for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Nowhere does he define what a commonwealth is. Nowhere does he mention colonial script, even though he printed it. And I think that's when he destroyed the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And then when they wrote the U.S. Constitution, they destroyed the other remaining three commonwealths. So if the government
I'm going to tell you something just on your comment real quick, and I promise I'll let you finish. I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you probably do. But the speaking of the U.S. Constitution or the Constitution for the United States of America, because I'm sure you're aware there's two, it was exposed in secret congressional in Congress assembled in the secret hearings in 1787 that the Constitution was actually to establish North American Union. Did you know that?
I figured that, because that's mm-hmm. that's what it seems where it's all headed, you know?
Yeah, that's what flipped it from, because in the Confederation, a lot of people have been taught for so many years that the Confederation is bad, 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 racism, racism, racism. So when you really research it and you really find out what it means, you're like shocked, right? Especially if you've never heard it. Confederation is just three independent sovereign nations that have come together in union. And those nations, this is one of the reasons. You know, each state has a constitution. We know this, right? Constitution means laws that govern a nation. We are many exactly. nations together in union. We are not one nation. That's a farce. That's kind of like when we're part of the United Nations at the UN Security Council. That's not one nation. It's the same type of situation, just on a different level. People don't understand that. And that's exactly. really what the fight was about back there in those... what they called the Civil War, it was really the War of Northern Aggression, and that is really what stirred the whole pot, was trying to usurp the authority in the first place. But
well,
I'll
be listening, and I wanted to breach this with you. I really wanted to, I think that we're going to have some progress in some areas here. You know, I think Mike Rivero, you know, he promotes a lot of this too, and Bill Still does too, but the thing is that Bill... He talks about the government issuing currency. But you see, I found out about this from Eric, Who Are You? And really, the government should loan the currency in the circulation. That way the interest could pay for the government. If you spend the money in the circulation, that's inflationary, and you still have taxation.
But so, here's a question for you, okay? I'm getting ready to ask you a question, and I think you'll get the question. What is currency?
Well, I'm a little foggy in my brain tonight.
Well, currency is what you perceive it to be. Currency is what you perceive it to be. Let me give you an example, okay? Let's say that the people are burning paper like they're over there in Venezuela because of how horrid it is, right? Your currency could be a tomato. You have a tomato and you have 300 seeds in it. Your currency can be seeds because somebody else may need to have seeds for planting food. That's still currency. Does that make sense to you?
Yep, and that's why, exactly, and that's why I said that's how far in debt we are, and I was thinking governmental. They govern mm-hmm. your mind. It's a mind game.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the gold and silver, it might be honest currency, but I think it needs to work alongside the colonial script concept, because even gold mm-hmm. and silver can be manipulated. Why do I say that? Because you're still going to have taxation, and that's where they're chipping
right.
your coin.
Well, not only that, you have to also remember when SH, you know, TF, that's the nicest way I can say that, gold is going to still be worthless. You can't eat gold. You can't get
exactly.
warmed up by gold. You can't run your vehicle off of gold. You can't clothe your children off of gold. when money means nothing, and a lot of people don't understand this, and I'm thankful that I do, but when money means nothing, you need food, water, shelter, be able to keep warm. And that is the true thing, that no matter what is the ultimate currency. Remember when Hurricane Katrina went through, people were killing people over bags of ice. You know, food, water, shelter, and many people, unfortunately, today don't even have shelter. We talk about that all the time, too. It breaks my heart. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, and we need to get back local. Quit worrying about the big thing, because if you establish it even locally where you're at, okay, and make it a trade, kind of like, I don't know if you remember this, but you said you're on up there, so I'm sure you may remember this. Remember the trading posts?
Yes.
They used to have trading posts, and they would trade goods for goods.
And don't forget, Ithaca, New York has its own currency called the Ithaca dollar, where it's like a barter note that you trade your time for, a piece of paper, so to speak, that says you have a credit for that, and you can exchange that for goods and services with other businesses that choose to participate. That works really well. And on the tax thing, they're all illegitimate. The reason the Constitution says no direct tax shall be laid, because even the Founding Fathers, they knew it was immoral, and it's theft, and it's legalized. You can't legalize the unlawful. You can't legalize stealing. No direct tax shall be laid means no direct tax shall be laid. That means property taxes are illegitimate. The whole pile of all the surcharges and tariffs, it's all double and triple taxation anyway. All you have to do, you don't even have to go to the federal, that is a good idea. The United States should print its own currency, and the government should loan it out to the people as it's needed for people to get businesses and property going and get their lives, established in a prosperous manner. I'd like to see if you just you don't have to go much farther than your county to find the CAFR, the Golden CAFR. The Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, the Golden CAFR. Open it up. There was one small little teeny community in Florida that opened up and found one trust, one of the God knows how many trusts that they had squirreled away, $700 million. It was enough money to pay just that one trust that the public prostitutes had stolen from the people and amassed this fortune that they were living off the interest of, who were the shareholders of that, the private corporate called your local government. It was enough money to pay the property taxes for the entire town for 10 years. So all you have to do is not to mention everybody's birth certificate, which is an insurance policy that's taken out by the Vatican and by the bar and by your local commissars. It's called your Cestu Trust. Everybody, when they're born, that birth certificate goes off it becomes a fiduciary instrument. It goes off to the Wall Street banking establishment managed by Fidelity. And everybody listening to this show right now is worth tens of millions of dollars. How about we try to access that? Some people call it your straw man. It's actually called a Cestu Trust. It's something that's a policy that's taken out on every single person when they're born. It should be taken out, and we should be getting the benefits of that money, but we don't. Of course, we know who gets that. The vicars are the hands-on manager of those Cestu Trusts. So we've got callers coming in, so why don't we bounce over to them and try to squeeze them in before the top.
I wanted to get your name once again, and if you could leave your number with the producer, because I would love to chit-chat back and forth with you about this.
Yes, I go by Gene Carl, an anti-federalist, and I think that you all may be anti-federalists as well.
Definitely.
I'll leave my number.
yeah, just wait till you're off of air so that we don't give your... number to the public, okay, sweetheart?
Federalism is nothing more than a fancy word. Dictatorship. Federalism is nothing more than a fancy word for tyranny. Federalism is nothing more than a fancy word for totalitarianism. So everybody who wants to be free should be anti-federalist. Only a moron or somebody who works for the federal corporation would advocate being a federalist. I can't see how anybody would be. Your caller, I would think that all the RPN listeners are anti-federalist and pro
pro-local, let's just say, for lack of a better word.
And a lot of people, and Eric, a lot of people call themselves Federalists, but they don't really realize the depth of what it really truly means. But I also want to say
it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Maybe one good thing about federalism. I mean, unless you're the enemy, we're going to steal land and steal people's money. Then I know it's great. You can go out and steal the entire country and call it federalism, and society's a victim. You know, so but I can't see one good redeeming feature in it as far as what would benefit the freedom of the people in general.
Right. Well, I'd like to say this, and this is in response to Gene, and then I'll take the next call because we're running out of time. But Gene, hopefully you're listening. My personal opinion is this. I nor anybody else has a right to tax you on your labor. You worked for it. You earned it. You should keep it. If you have paid for a piece of property, guess what? You should keep it. If you have to pay taxes continually on that property, it does not belong to you. The reason I say that is because if you don't pay your taxes, they take your property. That is not ownership. Once you have purchased something, it belongs to you. It is yours. And that is the way many people dig into the Articles of Confederation, people, because that's the way it was originally set up. It was originally set up. Real ownership, real independence, and not this farce that we've been fooled to believe, and especially in the propaganda school systems. And yes, I went through them, and I, you know, was taught that Confederation was racist and this, that, and the other. But you need to understand, Articles of Confederation are what named the United States of America. You need to understand that. Dig into the true Articles of Confederation, read them, and you might just be shocked as to, once you read it, then you'll understand why that war really happened. So I'd like to go to our next caller. Mike, who's up next? Hi, Betty. Oh. How are you doing, sweetie?
Fine, thank you.
You're on the show. Yes, absolutely. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, just fine, thanks. I went to the website to print out a form that you were suggesting be taken to the clerk of court and get a recorded receipt before you go in to bring a cell phone radio or a cell phone recording of the proceedings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I had to put together a form letter because I didn't find one on Eric's website. I mean, he tells us how to do it, but he doesn't give you...
I've had trouble finding where that is. It was supposed to be posted at Courtroom Watch, but instead, go to Lori's Google Plus, okay? L-O-R-R-I, that's Lori with two R's.
Good, uh-huh.
Last name Anderson, and that's Lori's Google Plus account. And you'll see, Lori, you finish telling her where that is, would you?
Okay, sure. When you find me on Google Plus, now let me tell you, there will be a picture of me, and then behind me in the background is a huge Liberty Bell with a lot of people that are walking underneath that Liberty Bell. If that is not the background, it is not my Google Plus, because you know how people will shadow you. So that is what mine looks like. When you get to that part on the Google Plus, look through what is called collections. I have collections. And in those collections, look up Courtroom Observers. It's right there. You can click right on it. And then pinned to the very top of Courtroom Observers has got the right to record. Now, that right to record was created for Oregon. I do not know if it was typed in or if it's a written in. So if it is typed in, if you're talking about are you talking about going to Nevada or Oregon?
Either one.
Well, you know, I think it's a fantastic thing for every place, you know, every court case, as far as that goes.
Right.
That's right. Everybody should have a couple of those.
It may be already pre-typed to the Oregon issue, because that's the one that I had put up.
Right.
I'm not sure.
She'll figure that out.
So if it is, all you have to do is take and download it, free to keep it, use it all you want, and then just put in what you need for whatever courthouse and whatever situation you need.
you quote the article, the two cases in 95 and the 2000 case?
They're in there. Yep, they're right in there. It's a
should that appear?
Yeah, it should be right in that letter that we have posted up there. It should be totally complete, and like Lori said, the only thing you may have to do is change the particulars, like which judge it's going to. We may have filled in the name of the judge on that letter because we were encouraging people to download it and send it for a specific case.
That's great.
But you can just you can retype it however you'd like to.
Okay, sounds great. One last question. At the trial that started today, are they the people kind of protesting or working the way you were suggesting they work at the courthouse that are opposing what's going on? That trial is such a farce. Those six people are being tried.
Yeah.
The best way to protest is to get the jury nullification flyers in the hands of as many people that are going in and out of that courthouse as possible, because you're most likely going to run into one of the...
Was there people there today doing that?
From what I understand, there was. There's been a range of normally around 50 people outside in the courtroom.
Fantastic.
It's pretty much been full, and the more people we get, the merrier. Now, tomorrow they will be off, and court does start for the trial. The opening statements were today, but court does start in Nevada. It starts Monday. It's going to be Monday through Thursday, and it's going to be 8:30 a.m. to 4:30, maybe 5 p.m. every day. So that's the time factor for the one in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the federal courthouse.
I gave kind of a long talk to a group that I gave today on the subject, and I was astounded that the utter ignorance by the news media that these people have of what's going on there.
Yeah.
Absolutely astounding. Yeah. Utter ignorance.
Combination of the public fool system doing its job perfectly, which is creating brainwashed young people, and of course the mainstream media doing its job perfectly, which is distract with sports, weather, and traffic, and non-news, and nobody's really learning anything. That's why I hope people value this event tonight, because you're going to learn something tonight, and knowledge is power, especially when you have to go into the witch's court. But during these trials that are coming up, it's never too late, even midway through the trial, to be out there handing out flyers and getting your letter to video record into the judge's clerk right up until the last day. I'd be doing all that stuff. So, yeah, apparently there were 50 people out front, and the courtroom was full. So I'm sure the people out front are continuing to pass out jury nullification flyers, and everybody should be doing this in their own community at the county courthouse. Get down there on jury selection day and hand those flyers out. This is how we're going to win the battle to resurrect the Republic, when the people realize that the power is in our hands.
Absolutely.
So
and with that, thank you, Betty, for calling. We appreciate you. And I want to thank all our new listeners as well. Thank you, Gene, for calling in, all the other individuals that called in tonight. Thank you for the
excellent
new listeners.
Callers.
We appreciate you. We always have excellent callers. They're amazing. And until next time, which is tomorrow, everyone, we want to say thank you. God bless you. Semper Fidelis. As always, watch your backs and check your facts. God bless you and good night.
And don't forget to keep calling on behalf of Tom.
Absolutely.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's getthetea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.